Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 27, 2019. Michael Leitman, on Quora, can you be anti-Semitic if you don't know what Jews are? Yes. I can be an anti-Semite even if I don't know what a Jew is, because I feel, without any intellectual grasp of what I feel, but I simply feel that my happiness, the world's peace and my advancement in life depend on the Jews. I feel that this small nation of 15 or so million people runs and manipulates the world, squeezing out its juices and energies, preventing human society from enjoying a good life. That is a subconscious sensation of every person in the world. Also, if one doesn't feel that way, then it can awaken very quickly, since it lies latent within every person. Between me and the egoistic desire. The period before Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, is considered to be not very good. Although Israel should be above time and the calendar, we nevertheless feel heaviness and the influence of this difficult period on us. There are growing problems in the world, climate anomalies, all kinds of conflicts. At such times, it is very important to work on the unification of society, which is the only remedy and opportunity to accelerate our development in the right direction and by the correct means. We are holding a unity evening in these times in order to use the growing egoism and its awakening as a necessary force for advancement. Society begins when everyone understands that the goal of our life is to develop toward bestowing to the Creator. By doing so, we become equal to Him in qualities, begin to understand and feel Him, connect with Him, and adhere to Him. Complete adhesion with the Creator is the purpose of our development and of the development of reality. The whole reality becomes one point of adhesion between us and the Creator. This determines the fundamental principle of our society. We are not cancelling corporeal life. Yet, the main thing for a person is to achieve his eternal soul called the divine part from above. The soul is the adhesion of a person with the Creator. In order to reach such adhesion, we need to work together and support each other in the group. Therefore, first of all, we need to organize the correct society that is directed as much as possible toward attaining this goal of adhesion with the Creator. To bestow to the Creator means to fulfill His will through adhesion with Him, through equivalence of form. As He is merciful, so I must become merciful, that is, to reach love of my neighbor. However, in order to do so, I first discover hatred, separation, and rejection from others so that I would build the opposite quality above these qualities, connection and love. This is the work of the society. Society should help and guide me in this work. I understand that I am lazy and that every moment I try to avoid working on connection, consciously or unconsciously. Therefore, I want the society to hold me in their arms, like a mother holds her baby, carrying me in their loyal hands. I am ready to give myself to society because I have already checked myself and realized that by myself I have no strength and brains, no chance. Let society make a human being out of me. In this difficult time before the 9th of Av, we need to pay more attention on how egoism governs us, confuses and lowers us to the animalistic degree by all possible means, problems with the climate, in society, at work, and in the family. This time, with all its difficulties, requires more connection from us, because it is the time of receiving the Torah. We could have received the Torah, but we were unable to do so, and therefore, we received destruction. The 9th of Av. This has already happened several times. If the evil inclination is not revealed, we have nothing to correct and nothing from which we can build our connection with the Creator. One comes to the Creator from two lines, the evil inclination and the good inclination against it. I come to the Creator with my evil nature and ask Him to give me a good nature in order to neutralize and control my egoism. Today, we are gathering for the Unity Evening in order to reveal together both our evil inclination and our ability to connect and reveal the good inclination. They are revealed one against the other. 1,500 egoists who understand that the desired goal can be achieved only in the vessels of bestowal gathering together. If each one could rise a little above himself, then through this common effort we will be able to raise a prayer, to ask the light to separate us a little from our egoistic desire. We are glued to the egoism, but we want to rise above it a little. The light, like water, enters between me and the egoistic desire and I begin to sail above it as if on a boat, in my group. From there, I will already be able to start rising. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 14th of July 2019, preparing for Unity Day. Earthly and extraterrestrial pleasures. Baal HaSulam, the quality of the wisdom of the hidden in general, practical learning, it is the nature of those degrees that one who attains finds in them tremendous pleasure and delight when he attains them. This extends from one's coming into the will of the Upper One. Question: is it only about spiritual steps or in our material world, that pleasure is also explained by entering into the desires of the Creator? Answer: no. By gradually acquiring the qualities of the Creator, one begins to feel pleasure in the state in which he is in our world. Also, an inner kli is formed in him, an inner vessel for receiving this pleasure. The pleasures of our world are very specific, small, earthly. They cannot fill us, because they are pleasures within the desire to receive. Entering the desire to receive, for self, the pleasure consumes it, just like being hungry. I begin to fill myself with food and with every bite my desire decreases. As a result, I stop eating, although there may still be many dishes on the table, but I don't have any desire for them. Whereas extraterrestrial desires are based on non-egoistic receiving, when I receive not in order to satisfy my desire, but to satisfy the wishes of another. And the other's desires are endless for me. I am in front of a common system that has the greatest desires, equal to the Creator in its strength and force. This is the most incredible, infinite volume that I can fill with infinite upper light passing through me and filling completely this huge vessel. Therefore, my pleasures will be infinite, if only I will treat the filling as something that I very much desire. Suppose when I feed my child, the more I feed him, the more I enjoy. But in the end, he is sated, does not want to eat more. What can be done? In contrast, spiritual enjoyment is imperishable, eternal, infinite, perfect, because its desire to receive is unlimited. This is what a special principle of spiritual attainment is about. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, February 10, 2019. New Life Number 1126. The Importance of Food in Our Lives.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the culture of food. We'd like to better understand what's going on, what is our culture of food developing into, what does it say about our development as a mankind in general. Be with us. Tal, please. Yeah. Food is something that we're really occupied with, and we also really like food. We see that cooking shows and restaurants and this entire industry became something very central in our culture. We see how global changes influence the food industry. In the past, each place had a culture of its own. Today, you can get anything anywhere. And maybe we're kind of losing the uniqueness of our ancient cultures, food cultures, and are getting more of a kind of fast food culture. And we understand that there's something about food that's really important for our life, to our connections, and we'd like to talk about this field in our life and maybe start with understanding why is food becoming ever more central? Why is it becoming a more and more important part of our culture? Why do we love cooking shows so much? I don't think that it's something new. I think that this is how it was throughout the entire development of human history. Food is the most important thing in life. There's nothing more important. I can live without a home, without a family, even without clothes maybe. But I can't live without food. This is how we're made. And not only we, also the still, the vegetative, the animate, even the still has to receive some kind of energy in order to exist. Meaning, we can't do without it. But besides that, we are human beings. And for human beings, the culture of food is something really important. It's been there since we can remember. And it will always be so. First of all, it's the communication, the connection between people. You invite guests over. Animals don't have something like that. You invite guests. Around it, there's an entire ritual of what we do, how we eat, their weddings, funerals. Doesn't matter how and what, but everything is accompanied by food. And it's really important how we develop food for babies, for grown-ups, for different kinds of demand. Let's put it this way, that food is the main thing that we have in life. Besides that, everything else, you can somehow get along without them. But a healthy person, first and foremost, needs food. And the rest is in addition to it. And that the food culture and the types of food, they also depend on human development. They're related to human development. Were we to talk to a person from 200 years ago that will eat hamburgers and fast food and hot dogs and so on, then surely people wouldn't understand us, that we're making something special out of it. If you have no choice, then that's clear. A person takes what he has and eats it. And it also started from having no choice, and then it became a trend. Right. And therefore we have to understand that today, people, they're all in a rush, or they're not in a rush. They don't want to go out. All in all, what does a person want? A person wants to eat something, so he orders out. Soon our food will be delivered by drones. They'll set the food on our table directly, chips, hamburger, and so on, and a bottle of Coke. The complete set. You don't need anything else. 2-3 times a day. Yeah. The future restaurant is going to actually be the supermarket. You'll get ready-made food, practical. Yeah. If necessary, you put it in the microwave oven, and that's that. And also, some say that this is the reason why we like watching cooking shows, because we don't have the strength to do it ourselves, but we like watching other people do it. Well, I don't know, but on the one hand, it's really exaggerated. On the other hand, what else is there to see? And also, it's typical of everyone. You also said that there is something special about mankind that relates to food not only as something instinctive, but maybe it's also something emotional. Of course, it's something emotional, and not only for people. This on the one hand. On the other hand, we have to understand that our food is in parallel to, it suits spiritual nourishment. That, as it says, man can't live on bread alone. But there's a spiritual and a corporeal fulfillment here, and therefore we have to understand, do we really prefer one to the other? That instead of our spiritual development, we really fill all of our TV channels and everything with food. And it's really so cheap. It diminishes man so much that this is all that he needs. There are special culinary trips to the Far East or other places and so on in order to experience the local food. Right, culinary tourism. So you're actually saying that our occupation with food maybe compensates for a certain need that we have or emptiness. Well, on the one hand, a person has an inclination towards that. I have a grandchild in Canada, and she's 16, I think, and she has to cook. And she's an amazing cook. I came especially in order to see it, and I see that it's a natural inclination, and her sister is the complete opposite, dancing, ballet, and so on. And it's really interesting. What's really the difference between people that like cooking and people that don't like cooking and so on? People that like or don't like, that's the difference. Obviously, but the spiritual root. Well, I don't know about spiritual root, but the type of people that like cooking and baking, are they different than people that don't? You can divide people into those that like being in the kitchen and those that can't stand it. What's the basic difference, actually? The importance? What's important to a person? The importance that a person has for himself, food, his household, that he understands that by that he connects to them, they connect to him, he serves them, they love him, appreciate him, and so on. Food is a very strong means of communication. We see how it is in all receptions and so on. Right, people unite around food and everything, in everything. There is no other means besides food that can connect people. Why? Because this is how it naturally is. It's the closest thing to our body. And if we can sit together and eat, then it's a sign that we're somehow connected. Even if we aren't, that you and I, we have completely different views and opinions, but it's a sign that we have some common ground, and it's very important. And we also see that when we prepare food for others, my grandmother always cooks and prepares and everything, and it really connects us to her and her to us, because she doesn't do many other things in life, but it's truly meaningful. Why is there something so connecting about feeding other people and so important in the family? Because that's what's important for a person, and therefore if I prepare some nice dish for him, then by that I bring that person closer to me. How does a woman buy her place in the family? How does she determine her control and so on? Because the entire household is around her, and especially food. Yeah. Today it's really evident that the mother or the grandmother that cook, they really control the family atmosphere. But it's also interesting spiritually-wise, because it's a spiritual root, because we have to fulfill our soul with the upper light. And in parallel to that, there is filling our body with the food common in our world. And this all comes from the upper root. It comes from the structure of the soul. Just like our soul has the desire to be filled with the upper light, and we have to fill it. From time to time, we have to care for this in intervals, like we do it for ourselves. And this is why this is how it happens in our body, because it's a result of the structure of the soul. So regarding the soul, then there are several times a day that we have to nourish it. And so it's the same in corporeality. And what is the food, the spiritual food of a soul? The food of the soul is the revelation of the Creator to the soul. That's the food. That the soul feels the Creator coming closer to it, fulfilling it, by projecting onto it from himself this projection, this fulfillment called inner light, and this is what fulfills the soul. And this is how we have to repeat the same process time and time again, because by these portions that the soul receives, then by that it comes closer to its realization that this is what changes her. It's not like incorporeality, even though that also incorporeality there is this saying that goes, you are what you eat, something like that. So in spirituality, this is really how it is, that the quantity and type of fulfillment that the soul receives, this is what influences its advancement, its ascent. And in corporeality, we can say that it depends on the structure of the food, minerals, vitamins, and so on, but it doesn't just say that man is what he eats, and there are many more inner things about it, because still, the ability to think, remember, our inner balance between the nervous system and our forces, all this is truly influenced by the type of food, kind of food. So also the kind of food has a meaning. I'll tell you how it was in the past. We don't have all these different kinds of chemical medicines that are so powerful and terrible. But still, what did we have then? All the doctors up until 1,000 years ago or something or less, they cured us by changing our diet. A bit more rice, a bit less of this. They knew what exists in everything. And people were cured by food, by herbs, by different kinds of tea. It all came from nature. Natural medicine. And it's the type of food that by that we reached our inner balance by changing our diet. And also today, if someone's really sick, then we don't give them heavy food. You give them porridge, you give them something that's boiled, different kinds of soup. Also today, nutrition serves a very important role in getting better and healing. Yeah. So food is something through which you can reach anything. Even if there's a problem with the bones, with the joints, with whatever, by food, we can achieve balance, even though that nowadays our body is really poisoned, but still it's possible. One more thing I want to ask about. There are people that like eating. And there are people that it seems as though it's not really important for them to eat good, tasty food. Like they don't really care what they eat. Yeah. It's like they're like a kind of box that it's important that it won't be empty. What do you fill it with? It's not that important. Is it really made? Doesn't really matter. What differentiates these people that are really meticulous about their food and those that, he says, I ate in the morning. What's the difference between these types of people? I'm a part of those that really like eating, so I don't understand the others. That's how it is from nature. What can you do? It's according to a person's metabolism. It has to do with the many elements and substances that exist in our body and their metabolism, the more intense it is and so on. Why is it that when I eat well, I'm calm, and when I don't, I'm edgy? That's fine. First of all, much of the body's energy goes to absorbing the food, on digesting it, sorting it, and so on, delivering it through the blood system to different places, nourishing the body. This is really serious work. In terms of flavors, when I eat something that's really tasty, I calm myself down. And if it's not tasty, then I'm edgy. Why? Is my mood related to the taste of the food that I eat? It's one system, one how. Suppose I eat something sweet. I calm down. Usually, if someone eats something sweet, he feels good. If he eats something bitter, spicy, it really makes him more jumpy, more. This already depends on spiritual foundations. This is also something that you can examine corporeality, but I immediately relate it to spiritual foundations. What do you mean? Because there are different degrees of lights and vessels that exist in our roots, in our soul. And therefore, accordingly, the soul behaves according to the lights that fulfill it. Whether it's the light of chasadim, or the light of chokhmah, or if it's in overcoming, or to the contrary, in expansion, it all depends on the state that the soul's in. What is this soul that you're talking about? Our general desire, it's very simple. What desire? Our general desire is a desire. If we can process our general desire for it to be to the benefit of others, it's called the soul. What do you mean to process? To change it. Our desire is egoistic. What desire? A person's, man's general desire. What I want is only to my benefit on different levels.
Okay.
Only to my benefit. If I change myself from to my own benefit to the benefit of others, as it says, love another as thyself, then my desire is called the soul. And you said that the soul has spiritual food. What is that accordingly? Then, when I'm in a state where I relate to the other in love, I treat the other with love and bestowal, then accordingly what do? I want to fulfill him with plenty and abundance, and a plenty and abundance that he wants. So first of all, I have to enter the other, know what he wants, what he needs, and to give him that. By this, I express my love towards him. This action is called bestowal, and then I fulfill my desire to bestow with a feeling called the upper light. And in this feeling, I start feeling the upper force, or the creator, that exists around us, and this is how he relates to us and sustains and keeps us. What kind of force is it? Of bestowal. What is bestowal? I just explained that I want to benefit the other. So there is a certain force that wants to benefit all of us? Yes. And it's called the Creator? Yes. So, to see if I understand. Suppose I'm cooking something. I'm cooking a meal for guests. And I'm inviting guests and really preparing, and suppose I'm the type that likes to cook, and really I went out of my way, and I know that when there are these big kinds of events, it's not that you get up in the morning and what happens, happens, but really people prepare themselves for it and so on, and I really want to fill them with love. and this is what I prepare for them. Now, while I'm cooking for everyone, out of love, out of my love for them, I can also connect to my soul, not during. I don't know what's going to happen later, but if you really fill them full-heartedly, from the bottom of your heart, then you as if pour your heart onto them, and in your heart remains an empty space, then that place is fulfilled with the sensation of the Creator. That's called the revelation of the Creator to His created beings. When you perform an act of bestowal, this way you can reach a state where you are. Discover, reveal the Creator, and identify with Him. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is all about. You see how simple it is. We said that a person that's eating, it's somewhat similar to the spiritual root where the soul is filled, is nourished. And we know that it's a habit to eat together, that all throughout history, people liked eating together. So how is that related to what you just explained? So I'll tell you why. Why it's important for us to eat together. Because if we're together, then everyone can enjoy giving to the others, helping the others, connecting with the others, and therefore, the reception of the spiritual fulfillment grows by it vastly. Why? Because I open my heart to others. And what does it have to do with spiritual fulfillment? Because as we said, that the spiritual fulfillment is in the heart, that the more I want the benefit of others, I open a place in my heart, and then that place is fulfilled with the sensation of the Creator. I'll give you two different kinds of pictures. I can sit and eat on my own in the best chef restaurant in the world, eat the best food on my own, alone. And I can sit with you and, I don't know, eat something simple. What qualities of pleasure will I feel here, and what qualities of pleasure do I feel there? Is it the same ballpark? Is it different levels? What is it? It all depends on your desire. To the measure to which you're in your beastly animal desire, meaning that what interests you is the food, to feel it as much as you can, like a cow that sees fresh green grass, all pleasant, how excited it gets. Compared to a person that sits down with his friends and they enjoy sitting together, how much it adds to them. Either you fill your beastly body, your animal body, sorry for comparing it to a cow, even though that it's really tasty, then this is food that you need, and it's food for your animal body, even if it's a luxurious restaurant. People feel uncomfortable eating alone. We always look to eat at least with one more person. There's something about man that feels that. It comes from the upper root. Also, we don't like people watching us when we eat. There are strange things about food. We have to be a part of a group that's eating together. Yeah, it all comes from our spiritual root. That the main thing is to be in devotion toward each other. That's the complete fulfillment, the complete and whole fulfillment. And this is something really ancient. We know about kings that used to put a partition in front of them in order to eat and that no one will see how they're eating. There were different cultures. Last question, because our time's up. How can we turn the act of eating into something a bit more internal and spiritual? Open classes for proper eating. And what will I teach? You'll explain there that man can't live on food alone. And how can we do it? Let's get together with different kinds of foods and different audiences, and we'll do it one way and another until we'll find until we scrutinize all the different options, and we'll see how a meal can truly completely fulfill a person corporeally and spiritually. Previously you said that the foods that we eat cure the body, so the question is it the food itself or also how we eat it? It's all true. Until we reach the grand feast, where we so-called eat a whale. That means what? That you receive everything, all the pleasures, including those that are in the corporeal food and the spiritual food. And that depends on what? It depends on the person himself and how developed he is, on his appetite. How much of an appetite does he have for corporeality and spirituality, and then he'll receive, because without an appetite, we can't feel the meal. This is what we need. So the meal you just described, it's kind of a symbol for man's development as a man, as a human being, through connection with other people. We develop such a sensation, such a feeling, such an appetite, deficiency, for a meal, that I can fulfill it with a tiny bite of corporeal food, but with a very exalted connection in spiritual food. Dr. Leitner, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Tal, as it says that the righteous eat and fulfill their souls. So thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, all the best.